Hi, welcome to Romance Happy Hour. I'm Dylan Crush.
And I'm Dawn Ludeke.
We're bringing you your favorite romance authors.
You'll get to hear them read from their books and answer your questions.
Now let's get on with the show. Hey, welcome to Romance Happy Hour. It is Thursday, so we are here to chat with our guest tonight, Sophie Bartow. Welcome, Sophie.
Hi there.
And we also have Dawn back, so yay.
Yay, I'm excited to be back.
Welcome back, Dawn. It's been a while.
Thanks. I know. I'm so sorry.
Well, no, don't be sorry. You've been dealing with some stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. So for our viewers, our normal viewers, which, by the way, I can't really see, by the way, I can't see who's on or not. I think I'm in the guest.
Oh, yep.
The guest room. Yeah. My son's, I just been dealing with my son. He got diagnosed with a rare brain disease a month and a half ago. So we've just been kind of dealing with all the doctor's appointments with that. And then summertime happened, so now I'm trying to even things out and force my kids to get on a summertime schedule so mom can have some sanity time. And this is part of my sanity time, so I'm so excited to be back. Yay.
Oh, Kelly says hi. Kelly stepped in for Dawn a couple times and was
yes.
a guest hostess, so thank you so much.
Oh, is she there? Tell her thank you so much. Oh, my gosh, yep. Yes, thank you.
No, we know we can always count on Kelly. And I actually have Cameron just stopped in because I'm on a writing retreat. So Cameron also stepped in and guest hostessed. Is that a word? Guest hostessed? You can pull up a chair.
Hostessed.
Okay. So Cameron also stepped in and helped out. I know, but now
thank
it looks
you.
Like now it looks like I'm super huge because
no.
So well, we're glad to have you back, Dawn. And you said things with your little guy are going okay so far. I mean, you're still kind of trying to figure it out.
He doesn't have any debilitating migraines anymore, but his brain pressure isn't reduced. But they're just going to keep an eye on it. So good. More doctor's appointments, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. But
So Dawn, maybe in and out over the next couple months, we'll deal with
depending.
It. Like I said, we somehow manage to keep things going.
Yeah. I know we do. We do it though. I mean, we're rock stars, I think.
We roll with it. Mm-hmm. So have you been working on anything? Have you been writing at all? Or, I mean, you've got a lot of family stuff that's been going on. So.
Okay. So the only thing I've been working on is a certain television show, which we won't mention the name of because I'll get in trouble. Yeah. So if you've been here before, you know what I was trying for, and that's what I did. So I've just been on doing extra background work for that television show. And then my agent is trying to work on getting me a meeting with them, and I'm hoping it will work, but I don't know because it's probably pretty difficult to get a meeting with a certain big name people. Well, two big name people. So, but other than that, just trying to keep my head above water. So I really haven't written very much, trying to get a little bit of marketing in here and there. What about you though? Let's hear about you, because I was really excited about that episode that I missed. The first episode I missed, I was like, our person canceled and they was like, Dylan, you have to read from your new book, your new release, because I wanted to hear it from it so bad. So I have to go back and watch the replay because I really wanted to hear your reading from it. What are you working on and how is everything going for you?
Things are good. I know we haven't chatted for a while. So things are good. I am working on book two in the Whiskey War series, and we are chatting tonight. So I'm on a writing retreat with several of the authors that were in the Tinsel and Tatas charity anthology last year, like Cameron, and then also Jingle Balls the year before. And so we are working on the next release, which I don't know. I guess we can say the title and everything now.
According to that, it said that the cover was going to be revealed on the 20th. So
you're doing another anthology for it?
We are, yes, coming in October. And this one is supporting heart disease. So
American Heart Association.
Yes.
Go red for women.
Okay. Well, if you have somebody drop out, I will totally. I've got some works I can put in there, pop in there.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. We'll keep you posted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm working on that. And we are going to be together till Monday. We've got a big weekend planned. We're going to be talking about writing and marketing. And so Kelly wants to know the title. God, you know what? I haven't even looked at it. It's the Holiday
Heart. It's on Holiday Heart dash on.
Yes.
Okay.
So don't worry, Kelly. We will make sure that you are aware.
Yes.
So.
So just so you know, Dylan, I can see the comments, but I can't like type in there.
Got it. Okay.
All right. But okay. I will keep an eye on the questions. I just can't type.
Okay.
Okay.
And Sophie, we're super excited to have you here with us tonight. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you write and what you're working on and any updates you want to give on your author life?
On my author life?
Yes.
Well, I write small town romantic suspense. Or small town mystery romance. And I have like the umbrella series is just basically Swan Harbor. And then underneath that, I've divided it into a contemporary that happened now and 20th century historical, which are basically novellas that introduce characters and settings that play a big part in the present day stories.
Okay.
And, so I have, and then within my contemporary series, I have, secondary threads that run through several books. Like I have a story that centers around saving the small town's hope, and it runs through 5 books. And then I have a trilogy that is 3 books, but it's also got a secondary thread that ties into a couple of other books. So it's kind of crazy. And, but it's a lot of fun. And, you know, this is a second career for me. I've been a speech language pathologist for 30 years working with adult stroke patients.
Okay.
And I have twin girls who are my youngest and they are in college. So I decided mom needs a new career and a chance to use the right side of my brain instead of the left side of my brain. And so it's been fun. It's been fun letting my muse take me away.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, we're glad that you are with us tonight.
Yeah. Thank you.
So very excited to meet you. And do you want to talk about what you're going to be reading from?
I'm reading from one of the novellas that is set in 1969. And it introduces a couple of couples that are in their 80s in present day stories and basically are into everything. And it introduces the lodge that sets up the trilogy. And it comes out on Sunday, which is my birthday, actually.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. And so I'm going to read, I truncated the first chapter. So it kind of starts abruptly, but basically he's on the telephone. So, and takes place at a nightclub.
Okay. Great. Well, we will let you go ahead and get into that. And if anybody has any questions for Sophie, our other guest tonight is going to be Dawn's alter ego, Jade. So she'll be reading later. But if you have any questions for either one of our authors or in general about writing or books or anything they're reading, pop them in the comments and we will get to those as we go. So Sophie, we will let you get up on the... We'll put you up here by yourself, and then we'll be back when you're done.
Okay, so I just start?
Yep, go ahead and just start.
Okay. She's already there. The line went dead, and Roman fought to maintain his neutral expression. Thank you, Madge. He gently placed the receiver back in the cradle. Anytime, Romeo, she quipped. Let me know what else you need. You know I will. Roman stepped away from the desk, not really surprised by the news. Somehow he had anticipated what he'd heard, which is why he had already begun ferreting out the who she was. On his way toward the small stage, his gaze drifted from one female to another. There were several he felt comfortable in ruling out. Once he knew who she was, though, what was he supposed to do with her? Hi, Roman. A busty blonde cocktail waitress stepped in front of him. Darla. She didn't have enough upstairs, so he immediately dismissed her as his mark, which had proved to be the case with most of the females employed at the lodge. The younger Desmond brother had a reputation for hiring women who filled out the uniform, whether they could do the job or not. Did that make his task easier or more difficult? Roman glanced around the nightclub one last time, looking for something, anything out of place. His gaze landed on the pretty brunette behind the hat check counter. Not for the first time, he caught her staring. Just as she had before, she quickly averted her eyes. He waited until she had turned back his direction and tossed her a wink. A gentle blush crawled across her face, and she ducked her head, making him take a second look. Her reactions threw him and kicked his heart right up a notch, so much so that when he stepped up on stage, it took him several minutes to remember what he was supposed to be doing. Jimmy, the bass player, Sticks, the drummer, and Don, the guitarist, were already tuning their instruments. "Which set tonight?" asked Jimmy. "Two." "Two?" Both Jimmy's brows shot up, and then a knowing smile crossed his face. "Lucy?" "Lucy?" Roman frowned. "Who's Lucy?" "The brunette behind the hat check desk," Jimmy offered. "She's a looker, isn't she?" "Don't let Madge hear you say that," laughed Roman. "I've heard she has a temper to match her hair." "That she does," Jimmy grinned. "However, she knows there's nothing for her to fret over." "As long as she doesn't catch you looking," muttered Don. "True," Jimmy replied with a grin, "but making up can be quite enjoyable, if you know what I mean." Roman ignored the typical before Sarah razzing and tried to focus on what he needed to do. When the curtain was lifted and he was introduced, the new girl once again captured his attention. Lucy. Their eyes met, and the song he was singing took on a new meaning. It had him thinking of holding hands and walking in the moonlight. Except, he couldn't afford diversions. One life had already been lost. He'd be damned if there was more. Lucy had been in the quaint small town of Swan Harbor, Maine for 3 days. There was a feeling in the air she'd never experienced. It gave her hope that she hadn't made a mistake, that she hadn't jumped into a situation she couldn't handle. Yet, it didn't quite dispel the nerves jumping around inside. Music helped, as long as she focused on just the music and not the man. She didn't have time for male distractions, no matter how tempting they were. Yet each time she saw him, she found it more difficult to keep her eyes off of him. She hated that Roman Dinkin, with his brown hair, blue eyes, and soft baritone, took her breath. "Keep your mouth closed, honey," Madge whispered. "You don't want to be caught drooling." "I'm not drooling," Lucy hastily denied while surreptitiously checking her chin. "I was just listening." "Uh-huh." Madge gave her a knowing look. Lucy didn't like the extra attention and searched for a way to sidetrack. How did Jimmy get involved in music anyway? Madge studied her so carefully, Lucy found herself holding her breath and fighting to maintain eye contact. Several long, grueling moments later, the other woman took the bait and went on to talk about her husband. "I'm out of here," she suddenly muttered mid-explanation. "Wait, Madge," Lucy began. However, her words faded when a cloud of aftershave surrounded her. "Lucy?" The low bass voice sent a chill zipping up her spine. Slowly, she turned away from the stage and met Rick Desmond's dark eyes. "Mr. Desmond," she took his black velvet fedora. "Will there be anything else?" He sent her an oily smile, and his dark eyes raked down her body. Waiting to hear what he had to say was more difficult than she'd anticipated. "I understand you'd like extra hours," Rick went on. "Yes, I would." "There's a game upstairs tonight," he murmured. "Are you available after the club closes?" "Yes, sir." "I'd like you to serve." Lucy sent a quick look in Madge's direction before turning her attention back to the tall man in front of her. "I can do that. Thank you, sir." "Good." Rick gave her another slimy smile and took off in the direction of the offices. Lucy slowly let go of the brush she'd been holding. She wanted to ask herself, "What do you think you're doing?" Except there was only one answer to that question. It was what needed to be done. Before she had completely let go of her nerves, Madge sidled up next to her. "Was that what was Rick saying to you?" "He wants me to work the game tonight." Lucy swallowed hard. "What exactly does that mean?" A flash of distaste crossed Madge's face. "Tips." "Okay," Lucy hummed. "But what aren't you telling me?" "Every time I work one of Rick's games," Madge replied, "I have bruises the next day." "Bruises?" It took an extra second for what Madge was saying to click. "You don't mean..." Madge held up a hand, two fingers moving in a pinching motion. "I do. Just watch your tail." "Wonderful," Lucy grumbled. "Just wonderful." As long as the game helped her to get closer to where she needed to be, she'd be fine. If it didn't, she was so screwed. 11 p.m. Roman pushed open the stairway door and peered into the hallway. He had 15 minutes to complete a task that would normally take 5. In the extra 10, he planned to continue with his hunt for the she he'd been warned about. As soon as the hall was empty, he rushed toward his destination. Before he had even reached the door, his lockpick was in his hand, and after a few gentle maneuvers, the knob turned easily. He slipped inside her room and leaned back against the door. The space was small and much like his own. a bed, dresser, nightstand, plus a separate bath, sparse but functional. The first thing that captured his attention was a smell. It pulled at him, tempting him to stop and enjoy the fragrance. Only his training kept him on the move, searching for the best place for the tiny device. Once it was firmly ensconced under the base of the lamp, though, his focus wavered. Robin picked up her bottle of Windsong and inhaled deeply. It reminded him of his sultry summer nights and had him thinking of burying his face in her neck. His gaze drifted around the room. The image of Lucy standing next to him was so vivid it caused his hands to shake. With just a look, she'd turn him into a daydreaming fool. What kind of power would she wield over him if he gave her a chance? A noise in the hallway had Roman's heart jumping into his throat. He just crawled under the bed when the door opened and Lucy walked in. The realization he was still holding her bottle of perfume had him biting his tongue to keep from groaning in frustration. It was a rookie mistake, and sometimes those got you killed. Roman held his breath and backtracked. Lucy's movements as she entered the room. She stopped next to the bed and slipped off her shoes. The crinkle of plastic followed. His imagination took flight at what was going on less than 3 feet from where he was hiding. Was she undressing and inside for the night? Or? Benny heard her muttering. By the sounds of it, she wasn't happy. Be a good girl and put this on, Lucy grumbled. You'll look like a doll. She was quiet for several minutes as first her dress, then her pantyhose landed on the floor. The bed gave way as she sat, and a fishnet stocking dropped into his view. It was that item that caused Roman to sweat. He knew exactly what she was putting on, and his mind's eye was having no difficulty filling in the rest of the outfit. Those stockings would be accompanied by a little black skirt and topped by a red bustier. She'd have on black gloves that stretched her elbows and a small hat. It was a uniform for all of those serving the drinks at the card game. The outfit was tight and barely covered what was necessary. How was he supposed to keep his mind on the task at hand if every time he looked up, it was to see Lucy dressed ready for some sin? 30 minutes later, Lucy pushed into the room above the nightclub. Smoke was hanging in the air, and the quiet immediately put her on edge. She dug down inside and took note of her surroundings. There were four tables with four players crowded into the small space. The men, at first three, reminded her of a bunch of bears hunched around a pool of water. It was as if they were watching fish circle in front of them and were waiting for a chance to pounce. And while she thought she was going to have to watch her tail, as Madge had warned, they didn't threaten her. It was when she approached the men at the last table her sense of danger appeared. Between the slimy smile from her boss and the beady black eyes of two of his companions, she felt like a mouse in a trap. However, the man in the fourth chair had an entirely new set of feelings rushing through her. Those involved a racing heart and dancing butterflies, especially when she saw how carefully he was assessing her. What can I bring you to drink? Lucy asked, willing her pulse to slow down. A vodka, the two men on either side of her boss replied. Their accents were heavy and they caused a little zip of fear to rush up her spine. Rick nodded he'd had the same. Then she turned her attention to Roman. The steadiness in his expression somehow calmed her nerves and gave her confidence. Would you care for vodka as well? She murmured. A corner of his mouth kicked up. Cognac, please, he responded in that sexy voice of his. For several heartbeats, their eyes clashed, and it was as if an invisible string was pulling them together. Then someone cleared his throat, and she felt a hand slide up the back of her leg. Lucy gritted her teeth to keep from telling the man what to do with his dirty hand. Excuse me, she retorted, her voice a shade less warm than before. I'll be right back with your drinks. As the night wore on, the touches became more persistent, moving higher toward her behind. She had been tempted more than once to slap the person who touched her. It was only Roman's steady stare that helped calm her nerves. Last refill for the night. Lucy set the drinks on the table and it turned away when a sweaty palm closed around her thigh. Are you free for the evening? Beady eyes number one asked. Before she could respond, there was a growl and she was tugged onto Roman's lap. Lucy is mine, he snapped, seconds before his mouth was on hers.
There we go. Sorry, it took me a second to get us unmuted. Rawr.
Yeah, I was like, ooh. At the end. You didn't see my face because Dylan was taking too long. But it would have been like,
sorry.
That was a good tease though to end it right there.
Yes, it
yeah,
was. You sure. Cut us off right at a very good spot. Yep.
Yeah.
So and that was set in 1969. Right.
It's in 1969 and it takes place like in a nightclub, like inside of a lodge. Mm-hmm. So I actually watched when I was writing, I actually watched a lot of old Elvis Presley movies.
Ooh, fun.
Because, you know, he sang in nightclubs a lot of the time. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So their song is actually Puppet on a String.
So you said you write small town. How did you decide to do that genre?
I love small town books that are like all the characters are interconnected, you know, like Debbie McComb or Cedar Cove and Cheryl Woods' Chesapeake Bay and Virgin River. And I've always loved books that, you know, the secondary characters have their own books and they weave all together. And then I love Nora Roberts. I want to be her when I grow up. And
don't we all?
Yes, exactly. And but I like the fact that, you know, like some of her books are like very, very grounded, you know, like they could really happen. Whereas some of her books have like a very whimsical quality. And so I've kind of meshed like my favorite characters and are my favorite authors into one thing. So hopefully it people like it.
It sounds really amazing. So I'm sure they will. So we do have three questions so far. So the first one is, are you happy where you are right now in your life?
I know. I thought that was a super heavy question for Linda to drop, like right off the bat. Wow, Linda.
Well, it depends. I mean, am I happy in my personal life? Yes. Am I happy in my writing life? No.
Why would you say that?
Why not?
Well, I just, I'm a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. So, I guess, I mean, I'm probably my worst critic. And I never feel like it's good enough. I never feel like it's enough. I always feel like I should be doing more. And even though I technically published my first book in March of 2020, I like literally wrote, I don't know, 8 or 9 books in a year and just kind of put my head to the sand and like, I didn't do any marketing. I didn't put it out. I didn't do a lot of social media. I just wrote. And then I spent about 2 months, I guess, in last year, just kind of like learning the marketing side of things and trying to figure out the newsletters and all of that kind of stuff. And then I went back to writing again, and that's when I wrote my trilogy. But I find that I just want to bury my head in the sand and write. It's hard to do both and it's hard to do everything. So then I always feel like I'm running to catch up. And, you know, it's like I started this year with a goal and, you know, it's like I'm going to get to a point because I write really fast. I mean, I can write a 110,000 word book in 6 or 7 weeks. Wow. But it's like I always feel like then I'm spinning my wheels and I'm trying to catch up. And because I still see speech patients on the side a couple of days a week. And so it's like, you know, trying to wear the two hats. And then the summer kids are home and that's harder. And
that's
the 4 hats.
So. Yep.
Yeah.
Cameron's counting your hats. Cameron says there are 4.
At least. 4 hats. Yeah. Actually, 4 kids.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So the next one is there a trope or subgenre that you haven't had the chance to write yet that you would like to?
I haven't written like the fake marriage, but I think, I'm going to write that next. The book I'm working on now is book 10 in my contemporary series and it comes out in September. And, but book 9 that just came out in April, it sets up, a couple and it sets up a wedding. And, so I think I might write it as my Christmas book, hopefully.
Okay.
But that's one of the things that I try to do is I try to make so that each book, it's different. You know, it's like I have a slow burn book. I have an action friends to lovers. I have a late in life book, second chance, couple of second chances. So I try so that each book is different and makes it more interesting.
It does just mix it up, those tropes mix the series a lot more fun because you don't know what's coming next.
Well, and fake relationship is a lot of fun.
It is, yeah, I like for sure one. Oh my gosh.
And, and we just have so I'm on this writer retreat with 7 other authors, so I'm hoping
we all keep
I know everybody in you all in it. So Sylvie Stewart is stopping in to say hi real quick.
Hello. And I don't honor anything. So
that's okay. That's okay. So I know.
Face.
I said we might have some surprise guests tonight.
Yeah.
did you guys run out of cocktails? Is that why you're taking a break to come in?
No,
and say hi?
I had promised I would come and say hello. Yes. So I was like,
well, here's the thing. So this is romance happy hour. So we fully expect you to have the cocktail in your hand.
It's in the other room.
I know. We're not.
See, I have my wine. I have my wine.
We're not normally quite this relaxed in our shows, but yeah, it was like, if anybody wants to come in and say hi, come in and say hi, and everybody else is hiding. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, goodbye.
we'll get Sylvie on an episode coming up.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
Cameron has been on a few times, but yeah, we haven't had Sylvie yet. We'll get her to come.
Yes.
On.
So these are our surprised guests over here.
Yes,
so that's
there
what
we
Dylan
go.
Was getting at there.
I can hear them all chatting in the other room. So they were like, is anybody going to go in and say hi to Dylan?
That's funny. All right. So, and then what technologies do you rely on most when you're writing, Sophie?
What technology? Well, I've always written on my iPad.
Oh, really?
Interesting. Do you use a keyboard or do you like?
No, I just, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because I don't like sitting still. So,
you do 100,000 word book on your iPad? That's crazy. In 6 weeks, that's insane. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
A Bluetooth keyboard.
Yeah.
But not just on your iPad screen. Oh my gosh.
I'm anal about it too. It's like, you know, I write like 4 to 5 chapters and then I send those out to my alpha readers and have them, you know, tell me if I need to fix anything, and then 4 to 5 chapters more. So that by the time I'm finished, there's usually no changes to make either. So that's good. But I've actually discovered working on the book that I'm writing now is if I write on my Mac, I write a lot faster. So I type a lot faster. So actually I've been doing both. I use my Mac to type, and then I edit on my iPad, and then I email it to my computer and edit it in Word again. So,
have you ever tried dictating?
Yes, and I'm horrible at it.
I think it's one of those things that you have to get used to, though, because I've tried it, and I feel like it's super awkward, but I think the more you do it, probably the better you get. So,
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, Dylan, what about you? Because I know that you had said you were going to dictate. Like, so I was curious about your technology there.
So I tried dictating. I've tried a couple times and it goes really fast. I had to find the right program because some of them, when you stop talking, it cuts off and then you have to start it again, which is really awkward. And so I did. And I mean, I got quite a few words, but then once I uploaded it, I had to go back and fix it. And so that's what took a long time. I think I dictated, I don't know, like 3,000 words and, you know, like in less than an hour. But then when I went back, I mean, it took me a couple hours to fix it. And so, you know, it's like, I felt like I didn't save much time.
Were you multitasking? Because I don't know if I'd be able to dictate. Okay. Because I was like, I don't know if I would be able to,
you know, like color while they dictate, just because I was sitting there looking at my screen. The one time I did it in the car. And I was driving. And so that was, yes, I was multitasking. But then the other time I was sitting in front of my computer and I just used like Google Docs, but I still had to go back and fix it so many times. So,
yeah.
And Claire popped in to say hi.
I was going to say Claire, and she brought her happy. Yep.
Yeah. Can I say something on dictation? And then I'm going to run back out.
It's absolutely.
Completely non sequitur. So
please.
Back in a past life when I was practicing law, I was still a law clerk. And I'm clerking at this firm for the summer, and they have you summarizing depositions, which is really fascinating work, especially in construction, defect, real estate cases.
I'm sure.
Let me tell you.
Talk about, like,
I was like,
bolt sizes and screw lengths.
No, it was homeowners who had houses on a golf course who were suing the developer because golf balls were breaking their windows. And I'm like, but I didn't know you had to put the punctuation in, right? Because this is in the day.
Oh, for dictating.
So did the whole thing on dictating, put the tape, and this woman came in to type it up overnight. And it was literally like 15 pages without a single. I would just pause, like she would know what it was.
With no period.
And he crossed the street. And then I'd like start a new sentence. And she's like, you need to use punctuation. But oh, it was kind of funny. Snarky. Yeah, it was,
so that was like the long sentence in history.
That's my experience with Jen Pickford.
Well, and nowadays, some of them you have to put the punctuation in, which sounds super awkward. You know, you're like, open quotation marks.
Yeah.
Come over here, period. End quotation marks. You know, I'm
yeah.
Word. But then some of the other ones you don't have to. So I think
it just really?
Depends on which program you're using. I know a lot of authors use Dragon, and then a lot of them use the Otter AI.
Not
Otter. And so which one of those is where you don't have to say period?
Bye,
open quotations and all that. Because I don't know if I could do that.
I think you can. I think it just, because if you think about when you first sit down to write and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, like somebody would say, like, I challenge you to write 500 words in one day. And you're like, I'll never be able to do that, you know, but then you do, you know? And so I think dictation is the same thing, that you just start and it takes a while to kind of get used to it and build up. At least that's what I'm telling myself. But yeah, I haven't spent the time to try to do it yet.
Yeah. So. See, I when I'm writing though, I'm like sentence, delete, 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 sentence, delete, delete, delete. So I don't know how it takes me forever to get like that perfect sentence in there. Yeah. And I just want to give a shout out to Donna and Karen who just popped on and are saying hello. I don't have the ability to type hello.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm trying to type.
No, it's me. I went on the wrong area. I should have just gone into our regular area instead of the link. So if you notice, my name is different. Karen, she said, what is she missing? You're missing Lexa. I am here as Lexa Jade for you all. And then we had one more question. Who are your cheerleaders, Sophie?
Who are my cheerleaders?
Yes.
I actually have a friend that I met online about 5 years ago, and she is my wall. So anytime I get stuck on something, I can bounce it against her, and usually it kind of triggers something in my brain, because I wrote fan fiction for a few years before I started doing this kind of thing. And then Sunny, Natalie, she's always there if I have any questions, and then my off readers are are good. They're actually much better than my family, but don't tell my family. I say no.
See, I get that totally. I do.
Yes. Although yeah. My mother, they live down here in Florida too. And so like I give her copies of my book, and she like lives in a, 55 and over neighborhood. So like, you know, they're all mostly in their 80s, 70s and 80s. And she was like, I loaned your book to so-and-so, and then I loaned it to so-and-so. I was like, Mom, they're supposed to be buying my book. That's how I mean. And she's like, well, we're retired, so I have to.
Well, at least she's talking about it and promoting you. So that's good.
This is true.
That's funny.
Yes. So.
Well, Dawn, are you ready to, I see you changed your name. You have assumed.
I did.
Personality of Lexa Jade.
Yeah, I was like Dylan, and I got on here, and I'm like, you know, I should have brought a wig or something, and so that I could have like popped up like blue hair or something to be like Lexa Jade, like green Jade, you know,
green. Right, of course,
green. But I totally dropped the ball on all that funness. So I am Lexa Jade. That is my pseudonym for my paranormal romance. I love it. It's a lot of fun to write that. And I think I do that when I'm just getting stressed with cowboy or contemporary or historical and want to kind of just disappear and create my own world. It's a lot of fun doing that. So, and I'm not afraid to like shout out my pseudonym. I know some authors don't, like they secretly write under other pen names, but I figure, how else am I going to promote Lexa? And then come on shows like this and be like, no, wait, you're not her. But so I am going to read from Protecting His Rose. I'm giving away an ebook of each of the Order of the Rose series. So the Order of the Rose series, it is a precursor to my Guardians of the Wind Rose series, which Midnight Alpha was released earlier this year, and I'm really bad. So remember in the past when I talked about how I had that one book that I was in the middle of writing, and then I gave my husband my iPad and he went in and deleted everything, and it deleted the cloud and all of my manuscripts.
Yeah, so I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, so I had actually also had a big chunk on book two in that series written. And that one was Midnight Fire. And I don't know if I'm going to change it to a different name or not. But I had a big chunk on that. And I've been just scouring my computer looking for it, going, where the hell is it? And then I realized it probably got deleted. So...
It's like when, remember, I don't know if you ever read, was it The Paris Wife, where Ernest Hemingway's wife like accidentally threw away, or she left it on the train, right?
Yeah.
She left it on the train. It's just like that, Dawn.
I know.
Your husband, right? he's Ernest Hemingway's wife.
I'll tell him. He's the wife. Yeah.
But Ernest Hemingway then went on to write, I don't remember what book he wrote after that, but it was amazing. So I'm sure that's exactly what you're going to do.
Okay. And so let's see if I can find it on here. Cause I was thinking, oh, maybe I should just write you like the little snippet or read you the little snippet that I do have.
Are you reading from the first book? What are you reading?
So I was going to read from Protecting His Rose, and then I'll just read you just like, it's literally just a page. I had like chapters that are now just a page that's the only thing left over from that lost manuscript. But so if I can find it, I'll read it later if there's time. But I am reading from Protecting His Rose, just the first chapter, because I think it's a lot of fun. And if you guys know Lexa, you know she writes with Amelie Tayden's series, it's been so long. It's The World. I write in one of her worlds, and the PDA world. So in the PDA world, there is a matchmaker, a paranormal matchmaker, and she has to show up in every PDA manuscript, and it's a lot of fun writing Jerry because she's like this spunky older lady, and I love spunky older ladies. And so I thought it would be a lot of fun to give her some action in this scene. So this is where I'm going to start. Protecting His Rose is the third book in the Order of the Rose series. The last one in this series, and it precurses to Midnight Alpha. So that's this one. And I am ready when you are.
Okay. We're going to leave you to it, and we'll be back after.
Sounds good. Okay. Bethany stepped off the yacht and waited for her sister Melody to take her away across the brow so they could find the matchmaker. And I'm going to pause because I forgot to set you up this. Bethany is a sea nymph, and so is her sister. And they were in one of the previous books. So Bethany stepped off the yacht and waited for her sister Melody to take her away across the brow so they could find the matchmaker. They'd been on the water for weeks, and their only reprieve had been those days when they simply stopped and enjoyed the serenity of the ocean. Those moments when they dove into the depths and just existed with the sharks and whales, sea turtles, and the occasional mermaid or sea nymph. Their place, their people. Well, if you could call them people, most ocean beings like her and her sister were mystical creatures, but Bethany and her sister were different from everyone. They were half human, which meant they got to enjoy not only the peace and beauty of the ocean, but experience the other side of life, the solid sand beneath their toes, the hustle of human society, the good and the bad of humanity. Not that the ocean world didn't have its bad, it did, but humankind had so much more evil and turmoil than the beings who lived in the depths. And that's where Bethany's conflict lay. She wanted to be in both worlds at the same time. She felt wrong, no matter where she was, as though she was destined to be elsewhere, to do something else in life. Sure, her job as a marine biologist was the perfect segue for her assimilation to both lives, but all of it was lacking somehow, and she couldn't quite put her finger on just what it was. Melody felt the same. Maybe that's why Bethany had agreed to come with her sister to meet Jerry Wilder, the paranormal matchmaker. Her sister wanted romance. She said on more than one occasion that what they were missing was love. Then again, sea nymphs weren't supposed to fall in love or have a mate, so maybe she was wrong. "I thought you said Jerry was going to be here when we pulled in." Melody stopped next to her on the pier. She should be here any minute," Bethany replied, and checked the lines to make sure they were secure. "From what I hear of the matchmaker, she's usually pretty prompt. Keep a lookout for a small woman with white cropped hair. Do you know a lot of beings that have used her services?" Melody sounded nervous, and Bethany couldn't fault her. They were going against their mother's advice, searching for a mate the way they were. "A few," Bethany responded, drawing her own attention away from her thoughts. "Jerry found mates for two of the three guardians of the Order of the Rose." "Those were just chicks. Those were those chicks I met, right?" Melody asked, even though Bethany had explained this whole thing to her several times. "Yeah, you met Echo and Taylor and their guardians. The Order of the Rose is a sisterhood chosen to find and protect the identities of another sisterhood known as the Windrose. The Windrose controls the Earth's elements." "Oh, right. Mom's talked about the Windrose before." "Yep, and the old Windroses are losing their powers, so the Order of the Rose needs to find the new Windroses and fast." "So why haven't they?" Melody asked. "Well, aside from the attacks from the demons sent to stop them, they have to find the third rose in order to make the circle complete. Their powers won't work otherwise. The demons are trying to get the roses before the circle is complete so they can have the location of the wind roses and kill them first." Melody gave a single nod and studied the pier, her shoulders tense and spine straight. Bethany wasn't sure what was going on with her sister, but something was up. She wasn't herself lately, which was another reason Bethany had agreed to come with her to find Jerry. Although her sister hadn't been there when Bethany helped Callan find and rescue Echo when she'd been kidnapped by the demon, her sister had heard of it, about it. She even met some of the guardian and roses briefly before they returned home. Well, everyone but Callan and Echo left and came back to the mainland. Those two stayed back on their island, hiding away to prepare for the time when they would find the remaining order member of the Order of the Rose and complete the circle. She was about to pace when a flash of color caught not only her attention but Melody's, as a white-haired woman ran down the pier, clutching her purse like she was guarding it from a pickpocket. "Look at that! It must be her. She has white hair." Melody waved towards the woman. "Wonder what she's running from." The little hairs on the back of Bethany's neck stood on edge, and her heartbeat kicked up fast as it made her breasts come in short bursts, especially when she spotted what the woman was running from. "Shit! A demon! Sorry, I cussed. Bleep! A demon!" Bethany launched into motion, untying the line from the chalk. They had to get out of here fast. Melody jerked her head toward the dark, wolf-like creature skidding around the corner onto the stairs leading down the pier. At the same time, the white-haired woman, who'd already made it halfway to their boat, waved several times toward them and shouted, "Go! Go! Go!" Bethany's fingers grew icy, but she couldn't wait to see if she could fight the demon. Her best chance at this point was to get out into the water. She leapt in front of the ship's wheel and started the engine as the woman she assumed was Jerry leapt onto the boat like a spy on the run. Her sister tossed the last line on board, and then Bethany steered the boat away as her sister jumped from the pier. She jerked her concentration to throttle. She jerked her concentration to the throttle when Melody's piercing scream echoed off the side of the boat and shattered her heart. "Melody!" she screamed as the demon's teeth sank into Melody's leg, tugging at her, fighting to keep Melody in his clutches. Before Bethany could react, Jerry was there, tugging Melody on board with one hand while repeatedly slamming her purse over the demon's head with the other. By the third hit, the demon shrank down, slightly stunned, and released Melody's leg. Bethany took the opportunity to jerk the throttle forward and escape before the demon could get his concentration back. Forcing her breath to even out, she kept one eye on the ocean and one on Jerry as she tended to her sister at the bottom of the boat. that's when the pain came. At first it was small, like a scratch on her leg, but the pain grew, not enough to make her unable to hold herself up, but enough that she knew just how much agony her sister was in. All their lives it had been like that. One would get cut or scraped and the other would feel it too. It was a stitch in their bond. One reason they were so unlike any other sea nymph or human. They had a connection to each other's pain, each other's weaknesses. She chanced a glance at Jerry, who worked tirelessly to help her sister. So much for a simple meeting with the matchmaker. She waited until they were safely in open water before slowing down to cut the engine. A gentle lap of water against the side of her boat mocked the moment with its false comfort. "What the hell was that about?" she questioned the matchmaker. "I was hoping you could tell me." Jerry shoved a stray piece of hair away from her brow. Bethany got the feeling the woman was so powerful, so poised, that not even her hair would dare fall out of line. Yet here she was in the bottom of the sea nymph's boat, half frazzled and wrist deep in her sister's blood. "Get your medical kit." Bethany stood taller and searched the boat. A medical kit wouldn't help her sister. Instead, she took two steps to the side, took a deep breath, and leapt overboard to get the supplies needed for sea nymphs. She always loved the way her lungs would expand and grow until they felt like they would explode. They strained for only a few moments before her body adjusted to the sweet release and would ripple through her chest as her body processed the oxygen from the water. At least that's how she figured it worked, scientifically speaking. Her mother had always told her it was just magic. Bethany swam down until she found what she needed and then headed back up to the boat. She climbed on board to find Jerry had covered the bite with her sister's leg on her sister's leg with her sweater. She laid the jellyfish along the wounds to sterilize it, and Jerry grabbed the kelp that Bethany held out to her. "So you're sea nymphs, huh? You could have told me that as much over the phone when you made your appointment." "Why? Would it have made a difference?" "Not to me, but a few things suddenly make sense." Jerry wrapped her sister's leg in the kelp. "What do you mean?" Jerry finished and sat back on her feet, glancing back and forth between Bethany and her sister. "I'm assuming one of you is the sea nymph that helped Callan and Echo a few months ago?" "She is." Melody struggled to sit upright against the side of the boat, wincing in pain and using her hands to tug her legs closer to her body. "I was away on business." "So you're the ones the guardians told me about, huh?" Jerry stood and smoothed out her flowing pants. "Yes, but why does that matter?" Jerry simply narrowed her eyes at Bethany, studying her. She tilted her head to the side. "Sea nymphs don't have mates, unless they want to do something crazy like turn into a siren and lure men to their deaths. So why do you want my services?" "We're half-breeds," Melody declared, and I'm the one who wanted to talk to you." Jerry snapped her curious gaze at Bethany's sister. "You?" "Yes." Melody's chest rose and she winced in pain, panting. I want a mate." She struggled for a few more seconds and then took control of her breath. I don't think I will turn into a siren like the others because of my human blood." "That's a big risk you're willing to take, but right now you have bigger problems," Jerry declared, her brows furrowed. "That demon bite on your leg is poisonous, even to a sea nymph." "But we heal fast," Bethany argued. "We are immune. "Not to this demon. I'm afraid not even your healing powers will work. Soon the poison will take over and consume her. She has to get the antidote." "How? Where?" Bethany clenched her fist so tight she could feel her fingertips dig into her palm. Fear slid through her veins like the venom through Melody's. She couldn't lose her sister, not like this. She would do anything to heal her. "That was a hound demon. The only way to counteract their bite is to drink the venom of the demon who bit you." "How do we do that?" Desperation twisted her heart into knots. She may have gone to help free her friend, but Bethany wasn't a fighter, wasn't a warrior like the women in the Order of the Rose. She was a scientist, a sea nymph, a big giant wimp when it came to stuff like this. "That's beyond my realm of knowledge, but I know someone who can help." Jerry took out her phone, took her phone out, searching for a signal for a second before dialing a number. Melody panted again, and Bethany faced, feeling the poison spread, or paced, feeling the poison spread even further through her sister's body as she listened to the one-sided conversation. "Hi, it's Jerry Wilder." Jerry rolled her eyes. "No, I'm not calling you to tell you who she is. My friend needs your help." "Right, we're..." Jerry searched the water. "Somewhere in the bay." She snapped her fingers at Bethany and mouthed the words. "Where are we?" By the time Bethany checked their position on the monitors and waited as Jerry repeated their latitude and longitude to whoever was on the other side of the line, Melody had dropped her head back onto the boat's hull. Bethany's heart shattered. She had to get to the demon fast. She only hoped this friend of Jerry's was as good as the Guardian's. She sat down next to her sister and held her hand, letting her drop her head on her shoulders. That's when Bethany heard the now familiar sounds of dragon wings booming above her. Although she couldn't see anything in the sky, she knew Rainer was coming. And that's it. Sorry. Rainer's the hero, FYI. So
very nice. Yeah, I haven't read any of your Alexa Jade stuff yet, so that was fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it.
So Rainer is a dragon shifter.
Yeah. So my my second sons are the Order of the Rose sons. They can shift into only one thing, what their father was most prevalent of. The first sons can shift into whatever they want. Oh. So, yeah.
That's kind of fun. That's got to be so different because, I mean, I've read your contemporary and your historical romance, and that's got to be so different when you, you know, I mean, when we build a world in a contemporary setting, you are kind of held to, you know, it's real.
Yeah.
Well, and so it's fun to make up, you know, how do you like making up your own world and like the magic systems and I mean, everything goes along with it. That's a lot.
It's a lot of fun. I love it because I can just like let my imagination roam and like, but at the same time, I don't like it because then I don't necessarily always write down, like I don't have my Bible that I should have. And so I'm always like, what the hell was I supposed to do with this second son or whatever it is. So, yeah.
So maybe
what
if you
color eyes are they? Yes.
Yeah. Maybe if you jot those things down as you go, Dawn.
Yeah.
Alexa.
Yeah.
Track. I know. Of course, don't we all do that? Do you keep a series Bible, Sophie, when you're writing your series?
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I write in Scrivener on iOS, and so I use the character sheets, and I try to fill in those. But it was like I just in April, I took my first book in my series and I decided it sucked. So I completely tore it apart. And it was like an 83,000 word book. And I basically replaced 52,000 of them and changed the story a little bit. But I found a place where, you know, a woman had dark eyes and she had green eyes and, you know, so those kinds of things and names. When you write small town and you have so many characters, it's like almost impossible to come up with names. And, you know, my Christmas book, a couple of years ago, the main character was Harper and the guy was Aiden. Well, there was a scene where Aiden talked to Harper's cousin and his name was Hayden. So it was like, what are you doing here? But you know,
yes, why do we do this to ourselves, right?
Yes, I need to figure out a way to keep track of those and I just have no idea.
I love looking through baby naming websites to figure out my names. And it's super fun when you can, you know, find a name that also has some sort of symbolism or something. I mean, I don't always, sometimes the just names just, you know, pop into your head, but other times it's kind of fun when you can, like in my book that comes out in August, the main character, his name is Justin Forza, and Forza means bull He's a bull rider, and Forza means bull, and I don't even remember what language now, gosh. But, you know, so it's just kind of one of those little things where, you know, you can kind of make it a little meaningful and
fun. Well, and that's what I
like that, but yeah. I definitely peruse the baby naming websites to find names.
I do for my historicals. I always go and do like most popular names and when they would have been born, you know, like 1850, you know.
Yep.
And then I kind of go through and see what would fit my person the most. But with my paranormals, it's always like, okay, what is he like? He's a guardian. So I will type in guardian and then I would search through the different names from different, you know, cultures of that area and stuff and try to get the perfect one. I like doing that. And then my contemporary, it's just like, okay, what name haven't I used yet? That sounds sexy.
right.
So,
yes, I found a really good name generator.
Oh, fun.
On my phone, and it actually will give you like their birth date and their social security number and this whole background on it if you want.
Oh, fun. Share that with me.
I should.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know. Yeah, so, Dawn, did we end up with any other questions? It's been super quiet in the chat tonight.
Yeah, I didn't see any more questions.
Okay, if you have any last minute questions, I know we're already pushing up against an hour, but if you have any last, a final question or so for Dawn/Lexa or for Sophie, let us know. I'm going to ask Dawn, Lexa, what do you like writing more? Which I know that's probably like asking you, you know, which one of your kids is your favorite and all that. But have you found that since you're writing now, like historical and contemporary and paranormal, have you found that you tend to gravitate towards one or the other? Or do you just kind of like rotating because then it's always something fresh and new?
Well, I mean, I'm writing more contemporary now because that's what sells versus American historical, which had died. And then now like it's starting to come back after Yellowstone was put on TV. But I love paranormal. Like I love to write it because of the world building and it's kind of just a release. So I would say it would probably be historical and paranormal evenly are my favorites and then contemporary because even with historical, as long as you get your, you know, your basic facts right from the past and you're not like putting, you know, your heroine into a dress that they would have worn in like you're in the 1890s and you're like 1840s kind of dress. But as long as you get some basic facts right, I mean, there are so many crazy ass things that have happened in the past that it's just like that you can kind of get away with making some shit up. Like,
would you stop saying four letter words, please?
It was only that word twice. There was that one word twice now. Sorry. It's the sailor in me.
See, now I'm back to being I have to be the rule person again.
Yeah.
Dawn's back. That means I have to be responsible again.
Yeah. she's gotta wrap my knuckles. So those are my favorite. I mean, and then but I real quick, I did see it. I think we have another question here, real quick.
Yeah, Karen wants to
know. Do you love Florida?
Oh yeah, I did see that one. Do you love living in Florida? That's from Natalie to you, Sophie.
Yeah.
sometimes. Sometimes no. We have
probably this time of year is kind of rough.
Yeah. Yeah, this time of year is not pleasant. Although our streets are less crowded because we don't have as many northerners down here. So
They all flee home for the mild summer we're supposed to be having
up north. Yes.
Well, we just had like 103 degree day. So I don't know if there's anywhere you can go right now to get away from the heat.
No.
Well, that's crazy because in my town, we have like a ridiculous amount of tourists right now because of the weather in Yellowstone. So the park there is all flooded out, so nobody can go there. So they come over here. They're coming over here. And it's just like.
Yeah, see, it's no fun. Our population triples in the wintertime.
Yeah, yeah, ours in the summer. It's crazy.
Yeah, and they all can barely see over the steering wheels and the 5-second rule, you know, when it comes to turning corners, it's not pleasant.
See, Montana used to not have a driver's a speed limit. So it used to not have a speed limit. So people know that. So a lot of the police here like to wait for those tourists who think that we still don't have a speed limit. And then they get pulled over and they're like, but you don't have a speed limit. And the cops are like, yeah, we do now.
We do.
Sorry, dude. So that's ours. Right. They like to speed the crap through here. But we are over time.
I know. Karen was asking if Errol or Earl wants to come in and say hi. I will ask real quick. So I will see.
Okay.
Hey, Earl, Karen would like you to say hi.
Sorry, I should have muted myself before I did that.
That's okay. Scream all you want. We're cool. We're chill this one.
So do you want to talk about the giveaway real quick, Dawn? And I'll sure. See if I can get RL to come in and say hi.
Sure. Sophie, what are you giving away for us this week?
I will give away 3 copies of the book that's coming out on Sunday. So
yay, new release.
Yeah. Yay. So just find out who and we'll send them on out.
Yep. And I am giving away to one person all 3 books for the Order of the Rose series. So to join that, to do that, what do you want them to do, Sophie?
To enter to that? Follow me on Instagram.
Okay. And for me, just join my newsletter. If you've already done it, just say, hey, I'm already on your newsletter. Well, actually my Lexa Jade newsletter. So if you haven't joined Lexa Jade, then that's who you need to join. Dylan, you guys all froze on my end for a second. So everybody was just like,
did we freeze or were we just still?
I don't know. It could have been that you were out to salt still.
So yes, Karen asked if RL would come in and I know everything's backwards. So RL brought friends.
I love friends. Friend.
She brought her entourage.
Hi. Yay. I just saw in May in Columbus. Yes.
Yeah. Karen gets around.
So, yes. Karen.
She does.
Yes. And Linda, I meant to tell Linda. Linda, I brought Lindy. So Linda sent me Lindy the Beaver. And so Linda, we are taking.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And we have.
We are. Taking Lindy with us this weekend. We have a couple outings, so look for pictures of Lindy the beaver on social media.
Yeah. Yes. So when Dylan and I are together, yay!
I did warn them that my dog got a hold of Lindy and Lindy, my beaver got a little crusty, and so
I told her they make antibiotics for that.
Dylan, all I did was say a 4-letter word.
So we will get Lindy back in good health. Thank you, everybody. Sorry, it's not normally this crazy, Sophie. I promise. This is the first time I've ever had live visitors that have popped in to say hello. So
no, I'm sorry, that is incorrect. As what? Amber Heard would say, incorrect.
No. Okay, one time.
No, at least 2 or 3 times you had live people with you.
One time I was in Vegas and I was sharing a room with Tara, and Tara Vassar said hi because we had a cancellation. And so she actually participated in Romance Happy Hour. So
I thought it was 2 or 3 times though.
I don't remember another one, but
I guess we'll have to scour and see.
I'm a mom and I have that, memory. Yeah.
Well, so if any of our viewers, our regular viewers, want to correct us and say how many times Dylan has had a live guest there with her,
I think just one other time.
And say 2 or 3, and then if it's just one, Dylan can say "I told you so" to me, in whatever way she wants to on our page. Yeah. And then if it's more 2 or 3, I get to say, I told you so to Dylan. So whoever wants to tell us that, we'd be eternally grateful. Right. But in the meantime, I have to go pick up my sister.
Yes.
All right. And check on my mother. So,
and I didn't hear what you said about the giveaway, but we'll leave it open through Sunday night on our Facebook page. So, and we have goodies from Lexa and also from Sophie. So make sure you check that out. And we will be back because this is the end of June. We will be back the second Thursday in July.
Yes. I think it's not the fifth.
No, it's always the second.
14th.
Second Thursday, Dawn. You've been gone a while, but it's always the second, except for this month because my kiddo was graduating from high school, so I had to move it.
Sweet. Congrats. Mine did too. Mine's going to boot camp on Sunday.
Yay.
Yeah.
So it must be the 14th then, Karen.
Yeah.
So yes, July 14th, we'll be back with our next show. So, Sophie, thank you for bearing with us tonight. I know it was a little abnormal.
Chaotic.
A little chaotic, but
it was good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. We really appreciate it. And do you want to tell people, just right before we go, you want to tell people where is the best place to find you? Where do you spend most of your time online?
Probably Instagram. I'm on Facebook sometimes too, and Pinterest, and I'm just kind of all over the place.
Okay. Well, and we've got a link to your Instagram profile up on the giveaway post. So go there to look for Sophie. And where does Lexa Jade spend most of her time, Dawn?
I guess that would be Facebook. Okay.
Does Lexa have a reader group too, or do you just have the one group for?
So right now I just have the one page, but I do have some readers. So if you want to be in my reader group, I have them on my newsletter. Like I have a newsletter group in my newsletter thing. So if you want to be in Lexa J's newsletter group, just let me, or advanced reader group, just let me know and I'll pop you in there and send you all the advanced readers. Linda knows. Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, thank you everybody for joining us tonight, and we will see you the second Thursday in July.
Yes. See you. Bye.
And keep an eye on my social media this weekend, because I think there are going to be plenty of mad capers going on here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see you next time. Bye.
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 Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Romance Happy Hour.
To find out who's coming on next or catch up on the video episodes, visit our website at romancehappyhour.com.
Don't forget, you can always join us live on the second and fourth Thursday of each month on the Romance Happy Hour Facebook page.
To connect with Dawn or me, check the show notes for our contact info.
We'll see you next time. Cheers!